Welcome to Take 10, OMCP's podcast where we spend 10 minutes, more or less, talking to online marketing thought leaders, educators, and career professionals about training and certification with hosts Jane Flint and David Temple.
Hi, I'm here with Ann Kennedy, president of Outlines Venture Group. Ann, could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
I'd be glad to, David. Outlines Venture Group is a new company I've formed. I am an angel investor and mentor in startup companies, in specific internet startups that are disruptive and scalable. And I'm working with my business partner, Jillian Musick, to do this. We both had some successful experiences building companies and are now in the lucky position of being able to have this lifestyle business of helping others along. It's a lot like raising small children. But before that, I was in marketing. Really, well, I started my first job in advertising and PR in 1970, and my first boss was Don Draper, except his name was Dick Sullivan. But it was that same world that you see on Mad Men, and I find that the world is so vastly different today. So for 25 or 30 years, I toiled in various aspects of that industry. And then when the internet came along, or the World Wide Web, as we know, I could see my clients were doing it very badly, and I wanted to know how to tackle this new medium and what mattered. And the next logical thing that happened was I discovered that the search world, which was very, very new in the late 90s, we had things like Alta Vista, Yahoo, GoTo, Northern Lights, companies like that. It was very much beginning, but it became very clear that the way that you reach your customers was going to increasingly be online. And again, it was not being done well. So that's how I've been in online marketing for almost 20 years until I became an angel investor.
That's interesting. And yes, it sounds like you have seen a lot of change in the industry and been there with it all along. You recently wrote a book about international search engine marketing called Global Search Engine Marketing, Fine-Tuning Your International Search Engine Results. As far as I know, that was the first of its kind. How did you come about this and what have been the results?
The reason that I wrote that book, and I didn't write it alone, I had a co-author, Christian Marhauksen, and he was at that time the CEO of Nordic eMarketing in Reykjavik, Iceland. And we were working a lot together, and we were discovering that the whole idea of how to approach global markets was very poorly understood, not just in the U.S., but also in other countries around the world, perhaps less so in places like Europe, where you have countries that are so close together that the idea of thinking internationally is very common. But in the U.S., there was two things were happening. One, there was a lot of interest in particularly large national corporations to expand overseas. And there had been some people like Bill Hunt when he was at IBM who had really started this ball rolling about how to do it well. It's true, ours was the first book about it, Christian's and mine. And the idea that we wanted to get across was that you need to be aware of what you're going into in other countries, that you can't simply translate keywords, translate a website, and expect to appeal to the market in other cultures. And you need to have the cultural awareness. So what the book is a description of, at that time, so this was written in 2012, the top 25 markets that were for the U.S. There were a couple we didn't use, most notably countries like the oil countries in the Middle East, because those were not ones that were traded online, if you know what
right.
I mean.
Exactly.
But so we went through the top 25 markets, cross-matched the U.S. Department of Commerce lists with how internet ready and web savvy they were, and how much use of internet there was in those countries, and then proceeded to make the book about how to go into that market. What were the available tools to use? We have a considerable information about China in it, and Singapore and South Korea. And it was a really interesting exercise for me, because I didn't know all this detail until I had to write about it. And it was very interesting to find out what what it is that you need to know to operate in these markets. The second reason we wrote the book, as I said in the intro to the book, is that even if you're not marketing overseas, you can be sure your competition overseas is marketing in the U.S. And so this was just, we're now a global world. And we're the economy is global. You can see how much the recent issues in the Chinese stock market have affected our stock market. It used to be when America sneezed, the world got a cold, but now I think that's shifting a little westward. So we're no longer in an entirely domestic setting, and nowhere is that less true than online.
And how did you train yourself in the early days on online marketing?
Well, that's a really, really good question, and it's a really relevant one today because in many ways it hasn't changed. But what happened was I was a pretty experienced advertising and PR and marketing communications practitioner. I've been doing that for a quarter century, and this was a new medium that came along that I needed to understand how to make it work, because that's what you need to do in marketing, is you need to understand your market and you need to understand the media. And this was brand new with all sorts of different permutations and how do we get to people through websites? How do we get them to come to our websites? And the answer, as I was sitting noodling on this idea back in 1998 in Portland, Maine, was the answer quickly became search engines. And I would, the early ones, remember the early ones, Alta Vista, Yahoo, we didn't even have paid search then, that was so new. And Northern Lights is another one, and mama.com, I just heard about a reminder about that the other day. And so what I found as I was using all the search tools available then to learn more about how to do marketing online, I tripped over something called the iSearch discussion list. And this is the point of my story. And the iSearch discussion list was founded by John Audette in Bend, Oregon at that time. Or maybe he was in Connecticut, I forget which, because he's been both places. And then it was handed off to Marshall Simmons, who now lives in Idaho, and now works for the does search for the New York Times. And then it was handed off to Disa Detlev, Disa Johnson. And I remember I was in New York, and I got in touch with Marshall, and I wanted to meet him. And I didn't know at the time that he lived out west. I thought he lived in New York. He was SEO for the New York Times. And so he agreed to meet me, and we met and talked about just what he was doing with the iSearch discussion list. And the whole point was so people could learn from each other. It was a forum. It was a listserv. Remember listservs? You could email in a question. I put something in Yahoo, and here's what happened. Did anybody else have this experience? And people would give you answers. And at that time, Marshall was the one who was curating the answers for us and moderating the discussion. And the point is, as we do to a very great extent now, we learn from each other. There are very few schools of marketing that teach this. They're growing. There are a handful of programs around the country. This is a really good thing because, as Don Nichols said at the SES conference 10 years ago, marketing people don't have a clue about search. And they don't, and that this is still true. You walk into companies where the marketing people have one thing, or the PR department, all very traditional. They don't understand the effect of how search works and how it can build a brand and how it can take down a brand if there are negative things said online. And so this was, it's very important that we have ways of teaching. And so far, that way has been from each other at conferences, and that has also helped build a worldwide community of practitioners in search marketing, digital marketing. Now it's beginning to be, as I said, there are a few colleges and universities that are offering some courses on it. We need a lot more of that. We need to formalize it. It needs to be part of the discussion of the education of both the people who want to do it and the people who hire the people who do it.
Yeah, that's great, and that leads into my next question. What do you think what can competency-based certification do for our industry?
Well, competency is really important. We all know sad stories of companies, some of them large, well-known brands, who hired the wrong people to do their work. JCPenney comes to mind. I actually met the fellow who was the SEO for JCPenney, who hired the company that got them banned. He has recovered from that, and he's a delightful man. I think he now works at Land's End. But what happened, he'd only been in the job 8 months, and nobody else in their marketing department had a clue. They just sort of handed it to him, and it didn't occur to him to wonder why their SEO program was costing them $200,000 a month for SEO.
Oh my.
And so it was just a disaster. And that was because he hadn't been trained. I'm not going to say he was incompetent. I think he was a very competent marketer, but he hadn't been trained in recognizing what are the right way to do things, what are the above board way, and what are the ways that essentially cheat the customer. I don't even care about cheating the search engines. That's not the point. But cheating the customer is a bad idea. And so I think that competency-based certifications are a very good thing, because that means that somebody who hires a person with a certification will know that there is a competency level that's been reached.
Well, thank you very much, Anne. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.